Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Copyright Protection and Imported Goods Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 19, 2013, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Kurtzsang v. John Wiley & Sons, Incorporated. This case concerns the first sale doctrine in copyright law, which allows a buyer of copyrighted material to sell or otherwise dispose of the copy he or she purchased without the consent of the original owner. The question here was how the first sale doctrine should apply to materials that were made and legally acquired abroad and then imported to the United States, because importation generally is not allowed except by the authority of the owner of the copyright. In an opinion delivered by Justice Breyer, the court held by a vote of 6-3 that the first sale doctrine does apply to copies of a copyrighted work lawfully made abroad. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Thomas, Alito, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined the majority opinion. Justice Kagan filed a concurring opinion, which was joined by Justice Alito. Justice Ginsburg filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Kennedy and by Justice Scalia, and all except Parts 3 and 5B1. To discuss the case, we have Kristen Ozinga, who is a professor of law at the University of Richmond School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Ozinga.
Hello, this is Kristen Ozinga from the University of Richmond School of Law, discussing the Supreme Court's recent decision in Kurtzsang v. John Wiley & Sons. I provided a podcast after the argument was held at the end of October, but I will quickly recap the issue and facts here. This case involves the idea of international exhaustion of intellectual property rights. Wiley holds copyrights in textbooks it prints and sells in various countries around the world. Given the differences in the markets of the various countries, Wiley charges different prices in different countries. Specifically, Wiley sells the books at a higher price in the United States than in other countries. Kurtzsang legally purchased the textbooks abroad, in Thailand, imported the books into the United States, and resold them in the United States without Wiley's permission. Kurtzsang made money by selling the books at a higher price than he bought them for in Thailand, and Wiley lost sales because Kurtzsang could charge less than Wiley was charging in the United States. To prevent Kurtzsang from continuing this behavior, Wiley sued, arguing that Kurtzsang's behavior was an act of copyright infringement, specifically its rights to import and distribute copyrighted works. Kurtzsang's defense was that he had a right to resell the textbooks under the first sale doctrine, otherwise known as exhaustion. Once Wiley sold the books in Thailand, its intellectual property rights in the books were exhausted. The Second Circuit had held that the first sale doctrine did not apply to Kurtzsang, as the statute applied to copies lawfully made under this title, which that court interpreted to mean lawfully made in this country. The question the Supreme Court answered then was whether the first sale doctrine applies in the United States to books and other copyrighted works made abroad, or, more practically stated, can a copyright holder prevent importation into the United States copies of a work that was lawfully made and sold abroad? After the argument, I predicted that the opinion would be a close reversal of the Second Circuit, and I wasn't too far off. Justice Breyer, a very active participant during oral argument, delivered the 6-3 opinion of the court, joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Thomas, Alito, Sotomayor, and Kagan. Justice Ginsburg filed a dissent, joined by Justice Kennedy. Justice Scalia joined Ginsburg's dissent, but for the legislative history segments. Per the majority, the first sale doctrine codified in the Copyright Act applies to sales of copyrighted works, whether here in the United States or abroad, so long as the works were lawfully made, that is, not pirated or otherwise illegal copies. Despite the case being based in statutory interpretation, the real thrust behind Justice Breyer's opinion was the same as that behind his questions at oral argument: the parade of horribles and the absurd results that could arise from reading the statute at face value. For example, he points to the data provided by AMICI, American Library Association et al. At least 200 million books in the American libraries were first published or printed abroad. Under the dissent's strict interpretation, libraries would need to stop circulating or distributing these books, at least until they got permission from the copyright holder for each and every book, a difficult task indeed. The dissent focused entirely on statutory language and would allow the copyright holder to prevent importation of copyrighted goods, even if an authorized sale had occurred in the foreign country. The bottom line is that exhaustion, or the first sale doctrine, applies whether the first authorized sale of the copyrighted good occurs in the United States or abroad. This first authorized sale extinguishes the copyright holder's intellectual property rights as to that particular good, and there can be no infringement. The purchaser now holds most rights in that good, including the ability to import it and resell it. As a practical matter, and depending on your perspective, this decision either opens up the global marketplace by allowing resellers of genuine copyrighted goods to import those goods into the United States without fear of copyright infringement, or it closes the door to the ability of copyright holders to price discriminate between different markets. Justice Kagan, joined by Justice Alito in concurring with the majority, pointed out that the inability to price discriminate may actually result in fewer copyrighted works being available to citizens of other countries. She suggests that price discrimination, via the ability to control importation, may be a valuable benefit of copyright law, but that Congress, not the court, should provide the solution. While this may seem like a good outcome for opening additional avenues of international trade, already copyright holders are seeking new approaches to stop importation of lawfully sold copyrighted goods. We could be looking forward to an era where more copyrighted works are subject to shrink wrap licenses or other contractual limitations, especially as the line between software, which is often licensed and not sold, and therefore is not exhausted, and other copyrighted works, such as ebooks and other interactive media. It is unclear what, if any, effect this case will have on the first sale doctrine with patent law. The doctrine is expressly codified in the Copyright Act, but is common law in patent. Shortly after the Kurtzsang opinion was issued, the Supreme Court denied certiorari in a case that specifically asked the same question in patent law. It's something to keep an eye on going forward. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.